Star Jude, the Turtle Way, Rapper Shimon, Captain.
In Haifa, there's a shikun of Ger Chassidim. One Erev Shavuos, one of the Ger Chassidim got into his car in the morning to go to be with the Rebbe in Yerushalayim for Shavuos. And as he leaves the shikun, there's lots of people hitching lifts, trying to hitch lifts, a lot of Ger Chassidim, all wanting to be with the Rebbe over Shavuos. And he stops. And they ask him how much space has he got. He was driving a small seven-seater. Not the very big ones. Small seven-seater Outlander he was driving. And he said, pile in as many as you can. Get in. And they got in, and they got in. More got in, more got in, more got in. The car was overloaded. And off they traveled to Yerushalayim. He's driving carefully. As he's approaching Yerushalayim, 2-3 miles from Yerushalayim, he sees blue lights behind him. Police car pulls in front of him and says to him, pull over. He stops on the hard shoulder. Policeman on his own gets out of the car. He walks with everybody out of the car. And everybody starts piling out of the car. And he starts counting. And with the driver, it's apparently a true story, there were 14 people in the car. 14 people in the car. The policeman says to the Ger Chassid, you're in big, big trouble. This is not a simple on-the-spot fine. This is a court case. It's a very serious thing. You're in very big trouble. We'll see you in court. He took down the details. He gave him his papers. And off the heat, carried on to Yerushalayim, and the other extra 7 people were told by the policeman to take a taxi. He arrives in Yerushalayim, Erev Shavuos. He's in a terrible state. He's in big trouble, overloading the car with 14 people. And he goes and manages to get an appointment with the Rebbe. And he comes to the Rebbe and he tells the Rebbe he's in big trouble. The Rebbe says, what happened? So he tells him the story. Rebbe, help me. The Ger Rebbe says to him, it's your own fault. You did something very dangerous. You have to face the music. I'm not going to wave a magic wand and get you out of this. The Maisa, Eid once came to the Square Rebbe, Zayin Gesund, and he said, Square Rebbe, I've got a sitting tenant. She doesn't seem to be dying. And the property's worth so much, and she's on a regulated rent. Maybe the Rebbe can daven that she should. So Square Rebbe said, Hemerois Rebid. The Rebbeinu Shem's got plenty of ways of giving you panosa. He doesn't need to give you panosa through me davening that your tenant should die. So the Ger Rebbe said to him, I'm sorry, you're on your own. He was very upset, disheartened. What are you going to do? He's in big trouble. And Matzah Shavuos, when he's supposed to go back to Haifa and all the chassidim go past to say goodbye to the Rebbe, he went to the Rebbe again. He pleaded, Rebbe, please help me. And the Rebbe again said, it's your own fault. You did something dangerous, you need to learn a lesson. The Rebbe wasn't prepared to say anything more to him. He stayed overnight. He's going to try once more with the Rebbe in the morning. Next morning he comes to the Rebbe, and he tells the Ger Rebbe, Chotosi Avisi Pashati, I did a dangerous thing. I will never do such a thing again. I'm going to keep all the rules of driving. I'll never endanger my passengers. Chab Charota, I'm a Kabbal al Osid. Rebbe, please save me, please help me. So the Rebbe said to him, now because you've got proper Charota, I'll tell you how to get out of it. Yeah, Rebbe. So he told him what he needs to do. A few weeks later, it's a court case. The policeman's there, and he says, he stopped this gentleman from driving on the way to Yerushalayim. There were 14 people in the car. Very serious. The judge says, you're in big trouble. It's not a simple matter. stuffing 40 people into a car, what do you have to say in your defense? So he said what the Ger Rebbe told him to say. He says, Adoyni Hajjaj, you've got the number plate of my car. My car's parked in the parking lot outside the courthouse. I want to prove to you the policeman's lying. It's impossible to have 14 people in my car. My defense is that the judge should come outside with 14 people, 14 random people, not too fat, not too thin, 14 regular people, and let's see if it's possible to stuff 14 people into my car. The judge felt it was a fair type of defense. And they all trooped out the courthouse, and the judge was standing there, and they start getting into the car. 7, 8, 9, 10. The person, it pushed, they pulled. The mama struggled, they pushed him in, they managed just about to close the door. But more than 11 people, impossible to get into the car. So he says to the judge, you see, it's a shek of a chazov. Good. I was overloaded by 2 people. I'm going to come along and accuse me of being overloaded by 14 people. Shek of a chazov. I proved it is not true. The judge comes back into the courthouse, he thinks things over, he says, bangs his gavel and says, acquitted. You're free to go. I'm not even going to punish you for being overloaded by 1 or 2 people. The Yid walks out of the courthouse. Phew, that was very close. And the policeman comes over to him and says, listen here, I know and you know very well there were 14 people in that car. Right? I know and you know. Look, I'm not going to go back to the judge. How do you squash 14 people into the car? How does it work? What happened here? And he promised he wouldn't go back into the courtroom to start making trouble with him. And he said to him, the emissary says, I don't know myself. How 40 people squashed into the car. I don't know. It's not Shaykh. It's Taka not Shaykh. And he told him, I went to the Ger Rebbe. The Ger Rebbe told me she uses as a defense. So straight from the courthouse, he went back to the Ger Rebbe and thanked him. But he said, Rebbe, what's Taka Pshat? How did 14 people fit into the car? So the Rebbe said, if he's got a gewaltige rotzen to go to his Rebbe for Yontov, there's an achdus and a tremendous rotzen. Then, with a tremendous, powerful rotzen, you can accomplish the impossible.
Sorry, but
yeah. I don't know. Good kasha. Very good kasha. Very, very good kasha. Next up, sorry. Good kasha. Very good kasha.
It depends
how you put it. No. He put it. It's not very good. No, Mr. Albers looks very good. It depends what he said. Probably told to say to the judge, let's see if it's possible to fit 14 people into the car. Let's see, let's try it out. He probably was worded very carefully. A very great man, the Ger Rebbe. No, it must have been. Yeah, it looks very good. Sorry?
In court as well.
Yeah, it looks very good. What? Sorry? Moishe Shemra, the policeman, oh, give out. Sach gute Dinge, Moishe Shemra, the policeman. Oh, give out. Yeah, the Yid, the policeman was a Yid as well. 100%, yeah. I'm asking him. So I'm taking him about exactly what took place. Shkech, no, it's true. Wait, he talked to Rebbe. He was Moida. It was Baldin. I like what Mr. Alban said. He looks very good. He was marked very carefully how to word it. Since 14 people, it could be, but let's see if it's possible. It probably was done in a way that he wasn't over the Lasheka. And I'm with some of the policemen, I don't know the terrorist that Kasha. So, yeah. It's like, good to Kasha. Yeah. But the Soit Advarim, you definitely can't argue with that if someone's got tremendous rotzen, a person can accomplish much more than he thinks he can accomplish. But I want to ask you a gewaltige kasha. I've had this kasha for many years, and people have asked it to me. I never had a clear, nice answer on this question. We all sometimes have a tremendous rotzen to do the right thing. But normally it's a regular type of rotzen. We all know Kshvoch created the world. Oilam chesed yibona. Kshvoch created the world in order to do goodness and give of his goodness to the creatures he created. In order to enjoy that goodness, we've got to earn it. And that's why Akshpoch created us with two components. And life is a constant battle between these two parts of us, these two components within us. Akshpoch is just. So obviously the battle's got to be exactly 50-50. Like Derech Hashem writes, it's a perfect battle, and a person can either swing himself one way or swing himself the other way. So Gvaltik, a question I had for many, many years. The two parts of us that Akshpoch created us with, one's the goof, the physical goof, with a nefesh abahami. A person's got a soul, which is physical, just like the animals, which has got drives for physical pleasures to indulge in oilam hazeh. That's the one hand. On the other hand, the person's got a neshama, chedek elekayim mal, that's got desires only for spiritual things, only for lofty things. And that's the battle of life. On the one hand, we're being pulled to physical pleasures. The body has no interest in spiritual pleasures. On the other hand, we've got a neshama which desires spiritual pleasures and has no desire whatsoever for physical pleasures. That's how we would understand. That's what life's about. That's the battle of life. We're supposed to overcome our goof, our nefesh abahami, and earn our reward, and we can enjoy it without it being nama d'chsufa. The question is, very powerful question, it's not really fair, the battle. We all feel our bodies are pulling very strongly. We feel those drives within us to indulge and enjoy, to waste time, to seek out physical pleasures. We know, we believe we've got a neshama. But the neshama, we don't feel. We know it's there, we don't feel it. We see something to indulge in, we feel pulled to it. We don't feel our neshama fighting and pulling us in the other direction. And of course, our seichel will tell us not to do this. But how many times can we say no when there's such a strong pull? So why is life fair? The pull in the direction of Gashmius is much more powerful and much more felt than the pull in the direction of Ruchnius. Tremendous kasha, I've been asked many, many years. What's the answer to this question? Basic question on life. I saw recently a Gewaldige Moshel to understand and answer this question. Remember, there are two parts to the answer. I speak about one. Nishon Daka Hashem, a very chosh v'seifa, saw a Gewaldige Moshel. A person goes to South Africa, he goes on safari. And he's taken out into the wild, and they give him an observation point. He can watch what's going on in the jungle. And he takes his binoculars and he looks into the distance. He sees a huge bull elephant. A massive, massive creature. Weighs about 3.5 tons. Not the type of animal you're going to start with or you want to meet on your own. The type of creature even a rifle cannot stop him in his tracks. A huge bull elephant. And he sees an animal, a lion, creep up behind the elephant. For some reason trying to attack him. The elephant became aware of it. With one kick with his foot, he sends the lion sprawling, injured, dying. And he watches elephant, this great beast, who he feels there's no animal in the jungle that has the power to fight this giant elephant. And he's watching the elephant through his binoculars, and he sees suddenly 20 meters from the elephant, a child of about 10, he's clapping his hands and whistling and trying to attract the elephant's attention. He thinks, what's going on here? This child's 10 years old. The elephant probably weighs 1,000 times what he weighs. 100 times what he weighs. How much does the kid weigh? 30 kilo, 30, 40 kilo. And he sees the kid trying to attract this elephant. And the elephant's ears swing out and they pick up this clap, they pick up this whistle. And he starts walking towards the kid. And he thinks, I'm so far away, I can't save the kid, what's going to happen? The elephant comes up to the child, and the man is shaking, what's going to happen to this child? And he sees the child look at the elephant and point to the floor. The elephant curls its trunk, lifts up a log of wood. The child then points to a pile of wood, and the elephant dutifully takes the log and puts it on the pile. He thinks, what's going on here? The lion, the giraffe, the zebra, all the reptiles, they can't attack this elephant. And he's got a little kid, a tiny kid of 10 years old, And he's telling the elephant, this powerful elephant, what to do. What's going on here? How is it possible the elephant listens to the little kid? And the answer is, the elephant's been trained. How was he trained? The first time he did what he was told to do, he gets some sugar, whatever elephant likes. And the second time he gets some more. And the third time even more. Until the elephant's been trained to listen to a human being because he wants his treats that he gets for doing the jobs he's been asked to do. Not always do we fight force with force. If we work out whether we can conquer something, if we don't have the power to conquer another force, that doesn't mean we can't conquer it. Seichel, chokhmah, is much more powerful than a powerful physical force. In Ivrit, there's a good saying, you can use it often. People try to slot something in something else, or they try to open something, or try to do things, and they're trying, and they're struggling, and they're getting red in their face. There's a saying in Ivrit, Im lo bekoyach, az bemoyach. If you can't do it with power, think a second. You know, somebody tried to fix something, you tried it, it doesn't go in. How's it going to go in? Stop a second. Think. Walk back, think. Slowly. Ah, it's the wrong way around. Ah, now it slots in. Im lo bekoyach, az bemoyach. Not always can we fight force with force. Because we're not powerful enough to fight that force. But with seichel, with chokhmah, a little bit of power with a lot of chokhmah can be stronger than a powerful force. The elephant is a powerful physical force. The human being's got seichel. Although we've no match for an elephant, but with seichel we can devise a way to get an elephant to do what we want. Remember, this is probably the pshat in those psukim in Keheles we read not so long ago. Ir Ketana, there's a small city, small town, only a few people inside it. Anoshim Bomaat. Uboy Leo Melech Godel. A powerful king came along. The Soviet voice surrounded the little village. Ubonolem Tsoidim Gedoilim. The powerful army built big, powerful machinery to trap the city, to conquer the city. So the Posuk, Umotso Bo Ishmiskein. There's a clever man in the little village. Ishmiskein Chochem. He's clever, he's a Chochem. Umilitu as Ibe Chochmosa. He saved the town with his Chochma. And that's how it is with warfare. You have a powerful army, a few guerrillas, or a well planned commando attack of a few people can destroy, can conquer a powerful force. Chochma is a tool with which we can fight a powerful physical force. And that's the terrace to our question. We have a gewaltige kasha. Our bodies are pulling in one direction. They're pulling so strong. Nefesh Abahami's got powerful drive, seeking pleasure, seeking gashmias. Our neshama, we don't feel it. We don't feel it. Because we don't feel it doesn't mean it's not there. Also a moshel, like a person in the freezing winter, he's got thick muffins, thick gloves on him, very thick. He's waiting for a bus. He puts the hand in the pocket to get the money out to pay for the bus. He can't feel the coins. Doesn't mean the coins are not there. Our neshama is so cloaked with physicality, we don't feel it, but it's there. We know it's there. We know what it desires. And neshama shema meichi, the seichel, that's part of the neshama. With seichel, we can conquer the neshama. It is a fair battle. With chochma, we can conquer this powerful physical force. It's perfectly fair. The seichel versus force is a fair battle. And that's the terror to this kasha. It's a perfect equal battle. And of course, b'shas nisoyin, a person's got to say no. He can't start thinking of chochmas, how to conquer the powerful force. When it comes to nisoyin, it's got to be no, I'm not doing it. But we know it's going to happen again and again. Eventually we'll give in. We've got to think of devised plans how to conquer that powerful force. With chochma, we can conquer the force. Chochma enables us to conquer a powerful force. We find in Tehillim, all over the place, how even David HaMelech, how he used Chochma and Seichel to counteract Oshiva Raglin Eidesecho, the pasuk there, how he used Chochma to counteract the desires of the Yetzirah. So what a great Rotzen can do, gewaltige Sachen. But even we don't have that great Rotzen, the Seichel enables us to make the battle into an equal battle. Let's go to our Sedra. But when we have a Rotzen, when we have the Seichel, there's something else we've got to take into account. Let's imagine for a moment, Chassid Yid goes to his Rebbe, a Litvisher goes to his God Lador, who he follows in every single thing. He doesn't deviate from one word what the Rebbe says, what the Godel says. And the Rebbe, the Godel says to him, when he comes to him, and he believes the Rebbe's got Ruach HaKodesh, you've got to emigrate, you've got to leave the country where you're living. Move. When? Now. Imagine that will happen. Well, imagine more than that. A person has a dream, Elyonovi comes to him. Sometimes the Rebbe, the Godel, means more than Elyonovi. Depends who. Elyonovi comes to him in a dream. Elyonovi knows it's Elyonovi, and he says, I've got a message for you from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. You've got to leave tomorrow morning the country where you live. What would the person do? Wake up in the morning, straight away, before even the rest of the family are up, phone the travel agent, or book tickets. Other ways. And he'll book a ticket for each one of his family. He'll wake up his family, he'll tell his wife, his children, pack the bags, we're going. Kids say, well, one second, what's going on here? Yeah, well, I want to go to school. Where are we going? Where are we going? We're moving today to Eretz Yisrael. What do you mean? What's happening here? Why are we doing this? The fellow said, I'm sorry, I haven't got time to explain now. You get put your things together. His wife will say, one second, I can't just move. What's going on here? I'll discuss it on the plane. Pack your bags and off we go. That's, I think, how we would react. If we'd have a Gilu Elio or a Rebbe or God would tell us, we've got to move town. That's, I think, the way most people would react. And the wife says, I've been told by the God, we're going, forget it. So Moedi Gezer HaKadosh. On the Pasuk, Lechcha Me'atcha Me'latcha Me'beis Avicha, El Ha'aretz Asher Arecha. HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells Avraham Avinu, I want you to move. Move town. Move country. A direct command. A tzivui from HaKadosh Baruch Hu himself. You'd expect Avraham Avinu to turn around to his family and say, that's it, we're going. There's nothing to discuss. On the pasuk Vayikach Avram Esora Ishtoi, Shteit Zoya Kodesh, Vayikach Avram Esora Ishtoi, Mar Vayikach, Amshech Lo B'Milim Al Yaisa. He spoke to her with good words. He encouraged her, because a person hasn't got the right to force his wife, to force his family, Lemech ba'ara achra, to go to another country unless she's willing to do so. And that's what the pasuk means, kachas Aaron, kachas alavim. Vayikach Avram, Avram spoke to her. Moshech lo b'milin, he spoke to her with nice and kind words, and he explained to her why the place where we're living is no good. It's affecting us, it will affect us. We've got no future, it's much better for us. Dinu b'nei dora kamabishin, the people around us are bad people. Until she was willing to join Avram on the journey to Eretz Yisrael. Moedi Gezer HaKadosh. A person receives a command from HaKadosh Baruch Hu that doesn't allow him, will give him a license to turn to a bulldozer and to force all those who he needs their cooperation to join him in what he's been instructed to do. It doesn't give a right. Meshech Chochma at the point. Avram Avinu had the command. She didn't have that command. He spoke to her in a kind way, in an encouraging way, to get her willing to join. Even there was a tremendous rotten to do HaKadosh Baruch Hu's will, that's not a license to do what we want. We've got to take into account the people whose cooperation we need to carry out that tzivui. Sorry? Yeah, very good. Same thing by Yaakov. Yaakov was told, Perik Lamadal of Pasuk Gimel, Shuvel Eretz Avisech Melatech Ve'emach. Shmuel told Yaakov to return back home to Yitzchak, to Eretz Yisrael. Shteit in Ramban, the same thing. Vayishlach Yaakov Rochel, Ulelech Soda, hold up the Psukim, how he spoke to them. What's going on? Shmuel told them, you tell your wives, come and let's go, we're going, we're off. So the Ramban, the same thing. Yisapa Yaakov Lenoshov, a person, Yaakov spoke to his wives, and explained it to them. Piyuslaem, it's hard to move countries, hard to move from your father's house, whoever the father is. Piyuslaem, he's mafias them, they should go with him. Moediga, Chazal, Moediga, Ramban. You see it clearly in the Pesukim, much more clearer there by Yaakov. The Moedig HaMaisa, Pshur Lev Diskin, became the Rav of Yishalayim. Moedig HaMaisa. When Yishalayim were looking for a Rav, to become the Rav of Yishalayim, they wanted to get the Choshes to Yid, and they looked throughout Europe until they decided to take Pshur Lev Diskin. I cannot fathom who Pshur Lev Diskin was. It's not much a Malach Alekim. I've seen how people have written Svarim who were there in Yishalayim at the time. There's eyewitnesses, accounts, when he was Mekabel Shabbos, B'Shas Moganovus is a vein that runs through the middle of the forehead. There was such intensity in his tefillah that the vein came out and became as thick as a thumb from the intensity of his davening. We can't fathom his greatness. It's by Kant, when he said the Shem Hashem, whoever heard him say the Shem Hashem started shaking. He was such a spiritual giant. And they invited him to become the Rav of Yishalayim. And he travelled from Europe, arrived in the port city of Eretz Yisrael, and he travelled with his wife and children towards Yishalayim. It took a few days. In Yishalayim, they were aware that he was almost arriving, and a large delegation of Yishalayim, Yidin, the Chashuv Yishalayim, went out of Yishalayim to greet him. And as well, the Noshim Sitzkonius went out to greet the Rebbetzin. So Pshleib is arriving there with his family. He sees a big crowd coming towards him. And they meet. And they greet him. They wish him Shalom Aleichem. And then one of the Chashuv Yishalayim takes out the golden kaftan. The meaning of Yishalayim is to wear golden kaftan. It's gold bekesher. And he says, we would like you very much to wear this gold bekesher. He says, fine. He took off his rekel. He put on the gold bekesher. You should come into Yishalayim ready to dress like Yishalayim Yid. So he did that. But then he noticed out the corner of his eye that the ladies who came to greet his wife had brought a tichel, which was the minhag Yishalayim to wear. I don't know if she was wearing a shaitel or tichel. It was a different type of tichel. I don't know exactly those details. But the women gave her a different tichel to wear. And he could see his wife wasn't happy about it. So the grace of Tzadik B'Shul Eib Diskin, a malach Kim Zokta, had I known that when I arrived in Yishalayim I'd have to put on a golden kaftan, that wouldn't bother me. But if I would have known when I was in Europe that by coming Rav in Yishalayim, my wife would be expected to wear a head covering she's not comfortable with, I wouldn't have come. Pelle Gemaisa. I wouldn't have come. He's coming to Yishalayim to become Rav. He can tour so much in Yishalayim. Everybody's waiting for him. To live in Yishalayim, in HaKodesh, he wouldn't be able to come probably otherwise. To live in Avir Eretz Yisrael, his mevata, had he known that his wife wouldn't be comfortable wearing the type of tichel which was custom in Yishalayim that wanted to do that. Same point again. Remember, in this week's study, we find the second time the same thing. Arachayim HaKodesh. Akshpoch tells Avraham Avinu to go and do bris milah to himself, to his children, and to Kol Miklas Kasboy, all his servants. Shteit Posav Vayikach Avraham es Yishmol Benoy. Whenever it says Vayikach in the Torah, it means he took them b'milah with words. Shteit Orachayim HaKodesh, Amoydik Orachayim HaKodesh. Yishmol was a godel. He was 13 years old. Chutzrech lekachtoi b'dvorim. He took him with words, this ratzis loy, to get him to be willing to do the bris milah. There's no such thing, come, this is what we have to do, grab him, tie him, we're making a bris milah. There's no such, Akshboch said, we're doing it. There's no such thing in the Torah. Derechel da'achinoyam, the way of Torah is pleasant. Akshboch doesn't want us to behave in such a way. Shtei dotn in posuk, in Yerachayim, v'gamili debase to make this kasboy, ki hoyabem g'doyin in the adults. You can't just force people what to do. The lokham be pios. He took them with pios. He spoke to them. He encouraged them. Because he wanted all of them should be mekabelit berotz mitzvah amelech. That's the way to do it. In this week's Sedra, another example of a Ravina being told to do something. He didn't get carried away. There was a tremendous rotzen. He had this tremendous rotzen, this powerful rotzen. He heard from Akshboch himself. He had this powerful rotzen, but yet, that doesn't mean that he's allowed just to force it on others and upset them. It's got to be done in the right way with a seichel. It's got to be done in the right way to get them to want to willingly want to make a bris mila. Mordechai Rechaim HaKadosh. We see twice that even Avraham Avinu, because he was Madrigosa Agvoy, he was so careful about this inyan, so careful to only get the people that need to cooperate, to get them to do it willingly, not be prepared to force himself on anybody. We find if he Madrigosa Agvoya, we cannot fathom who the others were. But Chazal are allowed, they can. The Chazal can write where Avraham Avinu Lefi Madrigosa, he was poigim in this very inyan we're speaking about. We find the Gemara Bamatzia, we find the Ramban. The Tesefta writes on Posik Perich of Allah Posik Yudbeis, when Sarah wanted to send Hogah and Yishmael away from the house. So the Posik writes, Koila Shetoyma Lecha Sarah Shema Bekoila. Everything Sarah says, listen to her. Shteitin Tesefta and Soita, that the Koil implies that in this week's Sefta, the first time Hogah was sent away was the right thing. It was the right thing. Not only the second time, the first time was also the right thing to send her away. In Pasuk state, Perek Tazai, Pasuk Vov, Vatanea Sarai Vatibrach Miponel. Sarah afflicted her and made her run away because she was uncomfortable in the house. Zog Ramban, Chotos Imeinu B'inu Azeh. Sarah sinned with this affliction she caused to Hagar, and Avraham Avinu was also punished. Avraham Avinu allowed that to go on. Shpoch saw her pain. He gave her a son. She a perod, will be a wild person. To cause pain to the grandchildren of Avraham Avinu. He gave her a son, Yishmael, which one day his descent will cause pain to the descendants of Avraham Avinu. That's the Golas Yishmael we're living through nowadays. And that says Ramban, was a punishment for causing pain to Hagar. Now the Tsefta says that he was supposed to do that. That she's right in trying to get rid of her. So what's the Ramban arguing with the Tsefta? Now the Teret is Poshut. The way to do it. When a second employee, there's a way to do it. I think you can find yourself a better job. You can't. You've got better opportunities. I think it's worth you working for me. You can do much better than that. Or, I'm cutting down, I can't afford, business is not going so well. There are many, many ways and excuses how to fire an employee. There were ways that they could have done it. The taina was on the way they did it. Vatanea Sarai. They caused her pain and they forced her to run away. That was not acceptable by HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and for that, we're suffering the final Golas Yishmael. So Chazal show us, Ramban shows us, Lavrom Lefim Adrigosa Agvoya, although he was doing it, Hashem Shemaim, he was doing the right thing. And we find the same thing in Gemara Bamatzia. In Gemara Bamatzia, Daf Peivov, in next week's Sedra, where the Gemara tells us, Avraham Avinu, when he saw, the Pasuk says, when he saw the Malachim, he invited them in, he thought they were humans, he wanted to do Ahnos Zorachim. He said, Yokach Nomat Mayim, take a bit of water and wash your feet. Why did you tell him to do that? He didn't want the dust which they worshipped, the Avodah Zorah, to come into his house. He didn't want that. Zog de Gemara, they responded to him. Meaning, had they been human beings, they would have responded and said, you choshed us to be Oyud Avodah Zorah. You've insulted your guests. Zog de Gemara, Omer Rabbeinu ben Rabbi Shmuel, something Rabbeinu ben Rabbi Shmuel, Omer v'chiba avim and chshatonu kvayot meni Yishmol. Zog de Basho, it was a punishment. Although in those days it was a derech to wash feet when you took a guest into your house. Loit said, Onoichi pnisias abayis, I've taken out the Avodah Zorah. He knew Eliezer didn't want to go into the house with the Avodah Zorah. He knew Eliezer didn't worship the dust in his feet. He still told him to wash his feet. Yosef told the brothers to wash their feet. It was a derech in those days. Zog de Basho, because he said it first. Although he meant Hashem Shemaim, he didn't want to avoid the Zohar in the house. But the fact he said it first, that was upsetting them. If that's foremost in your mind, you're saying it because you think we're serving Avodah Zarah. We're insulted. Kvar yotza mimeni Yishmol. He meant Hashem Shemaim, he had the right intentions. Just because he said the words first, which might imply that he's very worried that they're serving Avodah Zarah, kvar yotza mimeni Yishmol. Lefi madrigosa agvoya, any pigam, even for the Rabbeinu Shel Olam, was already a taina on Avraham Avinu. We hear it twice. We see this taina on Avraham Avinu, once in Ramban, and once we see in the Gemara in Bar Matzia, Lefi madrigosa, it was a taina. And for that, Ba'achas Hayomim, we're going through the Golos Yishmol, which the Pirkei Rebbelezer writes, that's the final Golos. Always when I speak out and say this Pirkei Rebbelezer, I think it's a gewaltige chizik. We're living in a very dangerous world now. It's all surrounded by enemies. Want to destroy them, even in Chutz Laretz, we feel threatened, we feel in danger. This is part of our destiny, this is part of the golos that Klal Yisrael have to go through. And Punkt this year, during Slichas, I think we say again on Monday, I noticed something I never noticed before, it says Kalei Sever Choisnoi. An article there brings Rishonim, Sever Choisnoi, he brings from Rishonim that golos Edom and golos Shmuel will be mixed together. As they state, I think he brings from, I don't remember what Shoshanim. Seva Choisnoi, it's going to be mixed together. That's Mamish, the Tzkufa we're living in now. Edom and Yishmol mixed together. Those two Golosim are going to be together by Achris Hayomim. As they state Dalton, he brings from the Rishonim. But this is as a result of the Vatanea Sorai, Yukach Noam Atmaim, and Avraham Avinu, Fimadrigos Agvoy was Nitva on this because his Madrigos Taka Vikach Sorai. He was careful very much in this tremendous rotzen to do rotzen Hashem, not to be pegea in someone who's cooperation or someone who he's supposed to get them to do something. He wasn't pegea in this union. Yeah, so we spoke today a bit how good rotzen, maybe the story wasn't so perfect, or clearly said, about how a big rotzen can achieve so much. But usually we don't have that rotzen, but we've got the seichel which can enable us to counterbalance the powerful drives of the nefesh of Bahami of the goof. Oh, but even when we do counterbalance it, even when we do follow our rotzen, is the limitations that sometimes we're not supposed to just follow the rotzen without taking into account other people. That's what we learn from this parsha from the Zohar Kodesh. That was what Avraham Avinu did. If we do the rotzen right, to go in the footsteps of Avraham Avinu, that's what we're learning these parshas for. Amen.